This is the Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about here in the OC at KUCI 88.9 FM, streaming live on your computer at www.kuci.org. Take this number down. You're going to need it to get on the air with me. It's 949-UCI, KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. And you're listening to the Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about. And I'm operating with a hurt finger today. It's not as bad as the last time. I didn't almost break it playing basketball or anything. Just took a staple through it yesterday. And so I put that Miracle Cure liquid Band-Aid on it that I absolutely love. But this time, well, it's keeping it from getting kind of caught on stuff. Because the staple went through the finger. See, in my closet at home, I keep like every topic I've ever done on this show, plus topics I haven't done but I've pulled for the show. It's quite a mess. And I was looking for something yesterday. Stuck my hand down into the pile of papers to just kind of pull out a stack to look through them. And they each have staples through them, and God knows, and you know, some of them aren't very well stapled, you know, maybe the staple sticking up a little bit in the back. And sure enough, my finger went straight through one of the staples, and your immediate gut reaction, like a split second, is to pull your hand away. And as I pulled my hand away, when I felt the staple go into it, it was like immediate, you know, just split second, pull your hand away. It kind of pulled the wrong way and shoved the staple in. So it stopped hurting like the second I actually pulled the staple out of the finger, but it kind of yanked up like a shard of skin right on the pad of my middle finger on my left hand. I guess it's a good thing it's on my left hand because I'm right-handed. But still, every time, you know, I'm getting dressed or anything like that, the shard of skin kept pulling on the clothing. And, you know, if I try to pick something up, the pressure of it. So I put some liquid Band-Aid over it because it was bleeding. But I put the liquid Band-Aid so it wouldn't keep catching on things, because then it just felt like a piece of skin, like a shard of skin was being pulled from the pad of my finger. I know, pad of a finger is kind of like a dog or a cat, but we have them too, and it's very sensitive. If you get a staple stuck through it, you got a shard of skin getting caught on things, evidently. I now know that. So I put the liquid Band-Aid on it, which is my Miracle Cure. I love the liquid Band-Aid. I mean, if anybody ever wants to, you know, if they ever want to sponsor the show, they'd get a great spokesperson in me. I've given them lots of free publicity as it is, if you've heard me talk on other shows. But I found out that while it keeps the shard of skin from getting caught on things, any kind of pressure on that spot is very painful. So as I, you know, have to pick things up or touch things with that finger, very painful, even through the liquid Band-Aid, which I don't know. I love liquid Band-Aid so much, I expected it to kind of be a miracle cure. So I'm a little disappointed, and I'm a little wary of touching anything with my finger now, because it's you wouldn't think it's like a dot, but it's so painful, unbelievable. Anyway, enough about that. You're listening to The Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about, here in the OC at KUCI 88.9 FM, streaming live on your computer at www.kuci.org. And the number to take down, get on the air with me and get yourself a free CD out of my very own collection that I'm giving away, is 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. This is The Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about. And we had the Olympics closing ceremonies last night, and I'm sure not one of you watched, because I got to tell you, I don't think I watched the Olympics one time. I mean, I flipped the stations. You know, I'm flipping past the stations. I do that all the time. I'm a flipper. I like to sit there with the remote and flip through the stations, you know, flip through my favorite channels. You know, the cable holds your favorite channels. Or I flip through the guide and, you know, and then I stop on things that seem interesting, and then I continue through the guide even after I found something interesting, because, you know, I'm a kind of a grass is greener person, and I think, well, maybe there's, you know, something I might like better on another channel further up the dial. So I do that till I've gone completely once around. I don't know what your TV viewing habits are, but this is what I do. I put the cable guide on, and I start from channel one. Seriously. I have OCD, I have issues. So I start from channel one, and I have my favorites programmed in, and I go through, And when I see something interesting, I'll stop and read the description. And if it's not interesting, I'll continue going. If it is interesting, I'll press that channel in so I can kind of hear what's going on in the background. Because on my cable, you can't actually... Well, on one of the TVs, you can actually see... Because I've got cable in one room and DVR in the other. And they work differently. And if you're on the cable, you can't actually see the picture while you're going through the guide. But if you're on the DVR TV, then you can see a small box of the, you know, the show while you're going through the guide. Either which way, I hear it or I see a little box of it, depending on which TV I'm on. And I continue going through the guide until I get to the next thing that seems interesting. And if it's equally as interesting or less interesting than the thing I've already got on, I keep moving. And if it's... more interesting than the thing I've already got on in the background, then I flip to that. And then I continue going on to see if I can find something even more interesting. This is my TV viewing habit. I mean, seriously. I know you have one too, so if you'd like to call me and tell me how you do it, I find it fascinating. Anyhow, I did flip past the Olympics, several times over the last couple of weeks that it's been on. But, it's never been one of those things where the description was interesting whatsoever. I mean, even if it's the first thing I got to, because let's face it, when you're starting at Channel 1 and it was on NBC, which is Channel 4, you don't have very many channels to get to until you get to that one. That could very well be, if it was interesting even in the slightest, it doesn't have to compete with something I already have on from a lower channel that I already thought was interesting, but it wasn't even interesting enough to make the first round cut of the interesting things that I'll stop on. And I don't know anybody who's really watched it, except for I know some people who maybe have watched, like, the figure skating or something like that, which, by the way, isn't even a sport, okay? I mean, please. A sport? Well, okay, an Olympic sport to me should be, you know, the fastest, the highest, the strongest, you know? The guy who can lift the most, the guy who can run the fastest, the guy who can jump the highest, you know what I mean? That's what an Olympic sport should be. It's supposed to be like, who is the best in the whole world at this? Okay, or even if it's like a team sport, you play, there's points, there's rules, and whoever wins. Okay, I could see that too. But I mean, where it's like stuff where, you know, some dude sitting there, you know, has to hold up a card that says you got a 9.5 as opposed to a 9.7, you know, because you leaned a little too far or something, whether it's, you know, diving or figure skating or whatever. This is not a sport. It's completely subjective. I mean, who's to say who's the best? You know, maybe I find, you know, one of the girls who's doing the figure skating a little cuter than the other girl. I don't even care if she trips on her face. That's my winner. I mean, you know, maybe someone picked music that you happen to love. Then you're going to like them better than the person who maybe is technically a better skater. It's very, very subjective. Okay? So this is the problem with calling these things sports and, you know, saying that, okay, this is the best in the world. You deserve a gold. You deserve a silver. You know, stuff like gymnastics. I know some of this is like summer Olympic games that I'm talking about, but all these things, you know, you were more graceful when you flew over that bar. I mean, please, it's very subjective. That's one of the reasons I can't get into it. It just seems very bogus to me. And another thing is, I mean, people, you know, will go, have you been watching the Olympics? It's like, okay, the Olympics has sports in it that are on every weekend. I mean, if you turn on the TV on any, you know, given weekend, morning or afternoon, you know, on some of the networks, they'll have like afternoon sports and they'll have track and field or, you know, they'll have God knows what. You know, some swimming competition or, some, you know, in the winter you will see like skiing competitions, stuff like that. Who watches this stuff on the weekends? Nobody. Why all of a sudden, just because it's in the Olympics, would they think that suddenly people are going to want to watch it? It's going to be a big deal. I mean, it's stuff that's on the weekends that nobody watches when it's on regularly. Do they think people, just because it's the Olympics, they're going to watch it, even though it's a sport obviously people aren't interested in and don't tune in to watch? You know, so I don't really get it. And I, you know, if you get it and you can explain to me what the big deal is about the Olympics, you know, a bunch of sports that people don't watch even when they're on every weekend, I'd love to hear from you. The number's 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. I mean, it's stuff that's not a sport. It's stuff that people don't watch normally, you know, and, you know, why, I don't know why people would suddenly be into it, just because it's the Olympics. Okay, here's another problem I have. And I know I was going to talk about this last Monday, but I ran out of time. But I have a problem with the biathlon. What in hell is this? Who came up with this? I don't get it. Skiing and shooting as a sport? I mean, I've never once been like skiing down a hill and thought, you know what, I suddenly have the urge to shoot something. Where did they come up with this? It's like, have you watched this? I mean, I was flipping past one day and the biathlon was on, which is, I kid you not, skiing and shooting. They ski down a hill. They have to stop halfway down the hill, pick up a gun, and shoot a target, and then get back up and continue skiing down the hill. And this is a sport. I swear to God, I don't understand. I mean, they may as well ski down a hill and then, you know, suddenly stop and do a break dance or, like, you know, a hip-hop move. Or, you know, ski down a hill and, you know, suddenly stop and do a handstand and see who can, like, you know, make their legs go the straightest up in the air and then continue skiing. Where did they come up with shooting? It could be anything. The biathlon, skiing and shooting. It could be, you know, skiing and then stopping to have a hot dog eating contest and then continue skiing. Now that I might watch. I mean, that might be exciting. That might be fun to see if, you know, the skier is now going to be, you know, get sick going down the rest of the hill because they ate too many hot dogs. I mean, literally, skiing and shooting? Where do you come up with it? And who says, yeah, okay, we're going to make that into a legitimate sport, recognize the worldwide. Who came up with it and had the balls to go out into the world and say, this is going to be a sport and it's going to be worldwide? I mean, bowling is more of a sport. Why don't they have that in the Olympics? I mean, you could do that, you know, indoor or, I mean, you could do that, it's indoors. You could do that during summer or winter games. Why is that not a sport? And yet, skiing and shooting is a sport. Or even curling, which is basically like shuffleboard with a broom on ice. But it still makes more sense to me than skiing and shooting. Because I just don't, it's like so random. So random, the biathlon. I don't understand. That is unbelievable. I don't know where that originated. And how it actually caught on, how anybody took the first person who said, let's ski and shoot, how they took them seriously. I don't understand it. Here's another thing I don't understand about the Olympics. As you know, have heard, I only have watched it very cursorily. And, I mean, very. Which is to say, maybe for, you know, a few seconds at a time. And, you know, as fast as my finger can flip the channels past Channel 4. And they keep saying, we're here in Torino at the Olympics. We're here in Turin, Italy at the Olympics. And I'm like, Torino? Turin? Is that two different cities that they're in Italy in the Olympics? Is one of them the Italian name and one of them's the English name of the same town? Is one of them a city and one of them is like the Olympic Village name? Or what's Turin and Torino? I mean, yes, I realize when I you know, thought about talking about this on the air, I could have actually looked it up and figured it out. But I thought, why waste my time? I mean, it was like, is it that important? I'm just mentioning that it's kind of a curiosity. And of course, I haven't really watched any coverage, so, you know, who's to say? But I haven't seen anybody, you know, go on the air who's broadcasting from the Olympics and actually, you know, explain the Turin-Torino controversy. What's up with that? If you know what the difference is between Turin and Torino, I would love to hear from you. The number is 949-UCI, KUCI, 949-824-5824. Okay, here's one last thing about the Olympics, and then we're going to move on. And I say we, meaning me, because, you know, there's lots of us in here. Me, myself, and I. Okay, so on my homepage of Yahoo.com yesterday, I was looking, you know, at the homepage and at the news, and literally one of the top things on the news there said, find out who Torino's top babe in the Olympics is. And I'm going to tell you who that is momentarily. But first, let's indeed go to the phones. And you can call in at 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. Maybe someone knows the difference between Turin and Torino. KUCI, you're on the air. What's your first name? Oh, that's your first name? You know what? You got screwed in the name department. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I was going to put that call in the air. Okay, if you'd like to call in, the number's 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. I guess we'll never know the difference between Turin and Torino. Oh, wait a minute. Someone's calling back. God, I hope it's not the same person. Their voice was so annoying. All right, KUCI, what's your first name? What city do you live in?
I live in Newport.
And what's your first name?
Steve.
Steve from Newport. Do you know the difference between Turin and Torino?
It's the same thing. It's like in Germany where you have München is Munich and Köln is Cologne. We Americanize everything because I guess we can't remember the way they pronounce them in their own language.
Wait, so one of them is the city's name in English and one of them is the city's name in Italian?
That's what it is.
And which one is which?
Now, can I comment on the Olympics?
Yes, but hang on. Which one is which? I must understand this. And please, can you roll up your windows, sir? It's very loud where you are. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I lost you for a second.
No problem. This call is going swimmingly. Hold on. Sir, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Seem to be having a communication problem here. Which word is the Italian word, and which word is the English word?
Turin is Italian. Torino is what we say in America.
Torino is the English word, and Turin is the Italian word.
Yeah.
That seems weird, because it seems like Torino. That seems more Italian than Turin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It sounds
but,
like a...
It seems to me that München is more a German word than Munich.
Well,
It's not a good call. Right?
Well, check this out. Torino. That sounds like, you know, your local pizzeria or something.
Sounds like you should be flailing your arms while you say that.
Yes, well, you know, I'm a three-quarters Jew, so I do that anyway.
tie one arm down and you've got a speech impediment.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which I've already got, so I've got a double then. Okay, so what else did you want to say about, you have a burning thing you want to say about the Olympics?
It's not burning, it's just my preference. I prefer the short track speed skating. I think it's the only event that really is an event worth watching.
It's, short track speed skating.
There's lots of chance because people are always wiping out, and it makes it exciting. There's an element of both skill and chance based on your opponent's mistakes.
Can I ask you something? Are you like driving a big rig or something?
Yeah, one that's about 4 wheels rather than 18.
Oh, okay, because boy is it loud. You got like every window down and like you're in a convertible or something?
I wish.
Jeez.
No, it's going to rain. Why would I have the windows down?
Boy, you got a loud car, man.
I don't bother your program anymore with my loud car, but that's my my take on the issue. Short track speed skating was the only one worth watching.
Short track speed skating. Not the long track, just the short one.
Nope.
Short track
with Apollo.
Apollo. Did he win something? Apollo Ono, that's the guy's name.
That's him.
Did he win something?
He won a gold and two bronzes.
What do you love about short track speed skating?
I like that it is, there's a big element of chance and it's fast paced and, you know, the mistakes of your opponents can affect yours. So there's a real element of chance as well as skill involved that makes it, and anything can happen type sport.
So in fact, we're not finding out who the best is at all. It's because it's completely up to chance.
Well, it's interesting that in the races this year, the finals, you didn't have any wipeouts that affected the results, and you did have the people who were the best finish first.
Wow. You know.
It is just an exciting sport to watch.
What a novelty. The best actually finished first.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
You know what? I'm not surprised. Sir, may I suggest a muffler? Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. I'd be happy to put you... Well, I would have put him on hold, but that didn't get a chance to happen. My goodness. That was a loud car. Okay. I mean, I drive a loud car, but mine is like smooth and quiet, and it's like a vacuum compared to that poor man's car. Okay. All right. Well... That was someone from Newport Beach. I don't even remember his name. I'm so sorry, sir. It was like from Newport Beach. I thought in Newport Beach they drove nice, quiet, beautiful cars. What's happening there? It's like a wind tunnel. Is that guy going to be okay? Is he going to blow away? Is he with Dorothy? Is there a tornado? I don't know. Anyhow, he likes the short track speed skating, not the long track. It's all up to chance. Oh, boy. And we found out the answer to the burning question, Torino versus Turin. Thank God. Some random man from Newport Beach set me straight. Torino is actually the English name for the town of Turin. Maybe in Italy... Maybe real Italians don't really even have those, like, big Italian names with the accents. Maybe we just made it up here because we're just into stereotypes and we're just racist. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. All right. Maybe we just like to exaggerate. I know I do. Anyway, all right. You're listening to The Sharp Show, Hot Topics You Really Care About, here in the OC at KUCI 88.9 FM, streaming live on your computer at www.kuci.org. And the number to call in and get on the air, just like, what's his name from Newport Beach? I'm so sorry I forgot his name through all that noise. My head was starting to hurt. The number's 949-UCI. KUCI, that's 949-824-5824. Yes, this is The Sharp Show, Hot Topics You Really Care About. And the last thing I was going to say about the Olympics, too bad we didn't keep him on the line for this, you know, with the sound turned down. Like I was saying before, on the front page of Yahoo.com, like top news, I'm sorry, it must have been a slow news day, but the top news was that who is the Olympic top babe? Who's the top babe in Torino, Italy? And the top babe, it turns out, is this woman named Tanith Belbin. And she is not a figure skater, no. It's something else called ice dancing. The difference, I couldn't tell you, because I actually watched a clip of her performance, her ice dance performance, in the Olympics yesterday on my computer. And it looks like couples figure skating to me. I'm sure there's some large difference, and I'm, you know, offending, you know, all of the ice skaters out there who are in the know. But looked like a couple of people doing some figure skating to me. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Well, anyway, it turns out that Tanith Belbin, this hot 21-year-old, supposedly ice dancer in the Olympics, her searches on, like, Yahoo.com and, you know, MSN.com and Google.com and stuff like that were, like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of searches. Right before, during, and after her performance on the Olympics in ice dancing. And it turns out that they did some kind of a poll on the Yahoo Buzz Index that keeps track of this kind of thing. They keep track of the buzz log, which is search spikes and trends. So spikes and trends among searches on the internet. And they said that Tanith Belbin searches spiked unbelievably during the Olympics more than anybody else, anything else, during those 2 weeks of the Olympics. Now, I've never heard of her, so I went ahead and looked her up to see what the big deal was. Oh, and by the way, the Yahoo Buzz Index did a little poll to ask people who were searching for Tanith Belbin, and Tanith Belbin pics, and Tanith Belbin photos, and Tanith Belbin hot, Why are you going to search Tanith Belbin hot? They said that was one of the, like, the four searches that people were putting in. Anyway, you know, not surprisingly, they did a poll on the people who were putting in those searches, and they came up with, like, you know, 83% of them or something like that was were men. Let's see, does it? Yeah, I don't have the number, but it was something like 83% of them were men. So that's not surprising. So I thought, well, I got to look this girl up. I've never heard of her. So I look up Tanith Belbin, and it was difficult, actually, to get a clear picture of her. A lot of them are, like, really far shots of her, like, way out in the middle of an ice rink with, like, you know, a guy, you know, and they're skating together, and she's, you know, turning and flipping, and it's very difficult to get a feel for what she looks like. So I spent a good 15-20 minutes yesterday searching for Tanith Belbin and looking up pictures and trying to get a clear handle on what this girl looks like to see, you know, well, what's so hot about Tanith Belbin? So I finally found a couple of pictures, and she's one of these girls that looks completely different in every picture. You can't, like, if she walked into the room right now, I would not know it was her, because some of the pictures, you know, she was all made up with really heavy makeup for the performance, for the ice dance performance, to be on camera and everything, and on national, not even national, international television. And, you know, some of the pictures, it was like her in an interview in a studio, like before she went to the Olympics, and she wasn't very heavily made up, if at all. And, you know, some of them, her hair was braided for some performance, and there were, you know, flowers and accoutrements hanging from it. And some of them, she just had, like, stringy hair, you know. She was at a practice session. She had a ponytail, no makeup. You know, one of these girls who you can't recognize them, like, with or without makeup, hair done up, done down, not done. So I was trying to get a handle for what she looked like, and I kept thinking, man, she doesn't look like, you know, anything that special to me. I don't know. I guess, you know, when you're watching the Olympics and, like, everybody is, like, some dude, you know, in some tight ski outfit, and you're like, yuck, you know, when some pretty girl comes on the screen all dressed up for an ice dancing competition, you know, you get all excited because maybe she's the only one around. Or maybe, you know, I'm just not into, you know, little skinny blondish girls. I don't know. You know, but either which way, I finally, and the other thing I was thinking is, they have her bio on a lot of these pages, and, you know, she's an athlete, so they have, you know, the height, the weight, the dimensions, and, well, not all the dimensions, and I can see why, but the point is, it said she was, like, 5'6", which is about as tall as I'll go, because I'm only 5'2", unfortunately, and you know what, I'm telling you, it doesn't all even out, like they say. God, much as I love girls of every height, age, color, and everything else, I love women, I just can't go higher than about 5'6". so anyway, she's in there, she's 5'6", but let me tell you, 5'6" and 108 pounds. And that's a little thin. That's a little thin for me. I don't really like very, very thin women. And, you know, I like some curves. You know, they don't need to, I don't like fat or anything like that, but I, you know, I would like some breasts and some ass and some hips, some thighs maybe. You know, these are all very good things. Anyhow, so I'm thinking, okay, little skinny, but then I watched a clip of the actual ice dance performance on the computer yesterday that she did with her partner in the Olympics. And actually, they won the silver medal. Again, one of these sports where it's extremely subjective. It's like, you know, how can I tell their ice dance apart from the next couple and go, oh, they didn't deserve a gold. They deserved a silver. I mean, please, what's the diff? Anyhow, but you know what? In that ice dancing, oh, my God. The partner is also a thin dude. He's not some, you know, governator, you know, big, you know, steroidal guy or anything. And he, while on ice skates going about, it looked like about 40 miles an hour across the rink, is, like, grabbing her, who's also on ice skates going 40 miles an hour, and lifting her above his head and twirling around on the ice with her above his head and then putting, you know, gently setting her back down on her ice skates again, while still going 40 miles an hour across the ice. And I thought, you know what? I guess she has to be 108 pounds, because if she was 109, she could be dead. I mean, if this guy bobbled for 1 second while trying to hold her above his head, you know, they would both be dead on the ice. So I guess you have to be as thin as you possibly can if you're going to have some guy, you know, traipsing across ice and throwing you into the air above his head and, you know, being able to keep a strong grip there and, you know, and not dropping you on ice. So, you know, I can see that it's a very practical thing, her staying very thin. But still, you know, some of those still shots of her flying into the air and stuff like that, you know, you could see all kinds of ribs, and I'm just not into that. I know a lot of guys are totally into very thin chicks, so maybe that's, you know, what the deal is. The other thing is, with a very, very thin chick, and especially in this girl's case, not a lot of boobage. And, you know, that's really a deal breaker for me, you know, because that's really my favorite thing in the world. You know, boobies are my favorite thing, you know, in God's creation, if you believe in all that, and I don't, but on God's green earth, I have to say, amongst everything, amongst, you know, chocolate frozen yogurt and all the other good things of life, boobies are my all-time fave. And anyway, so I'm already thinking, okay, I don't get what the big deal is. I don't understand the whole Tanith Belbin thing. But then, I got to tell you, I was swayed, because then I found some clips of interviews with Torino's top babe, supposedly. And, you know, she wasn't totally made up. She was just sitting there very plain Jane-ish, which is kind of more appealing to me for some reason, doing an interview. And she was talking, and she was very articulate, which is really cool. That really kind of turns me on. You know, I always used to think, you know what, I don't care if a woman speaks, she can just shut up, she can be dumb as a post, as long as she looks hot. Well, you know what, I'm finding lately that women who are very articulate and kind of smart kind of do turn me on. I'm kind of, you know, admitting to that now. So she was very articulate, much more so than me, although that doesn't take much. And she was very sweet. She was just a sweet thing. She was sincere and sweet, and I got to tell you, that does it for me. So I instantly became a fan once I actually heard her speak, which is usually the other way around. Usually you look at someone, they're totally hot, and then they open their mouth and you're like, ugh. This was the opposite. Very strange. Okay, so I can see the whole Tanith Belbin thing. But literally, she is supposedly Torino's top babe, more searches than anybody else on all the search engines, and yes, most of them by men. And yes, the searches included not just, excuse me, Tanith Belbin, Tanith Belbin pics, and Tanith Belbin photos, but Tanith Belbin hot, the ever popular search. All right, that comes to you from the Yahoo Buzz Index. All right, you're listening to The Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about here in the OC at KUCI 88.9 FM, streaming live on your computer at www.kuci.org. And, of course, the number to call in and tell me if you think Tanith Belbin is Torino's hot babe, or who's your favorite babe from the Olympics? Were there any? You know, a lot of like, snowboarding-type girls, you know, girls in, like, the ski outfits, you know, and the, not the tight ski outfits either. Like, unfortunately, all these dudes wear. Stop. You know, the bulky ski outfits, the hair pulled back in a ponytail, no makeup, you know, carrying a snowboard under their right arm, you know, kind of, you know, tough girls, don't do it for me. I like the girly girls, so I'm not so into the athletes. An ice dancer? That's not an athlete. I mean, geez, she has to be extremely athletic. I mean, probably more so than the snowboarding girls. But, you know, so she's got the athletic body, although very, very skinny, so the guy can actually hold her above his head while sliding on ice very quickly. But way more into the girly girls, like the ice dancers, who face it. It's not really a sport, even though, yes, you have to be incredibly athletic to do it. All right, so who's your top babe, if at all, if you're into those kind of, you know, women at all, that is the Olympic babes. I'd love to hear from you. The number if for that or anything else is 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. And you're listening to The Sharp Show, Hot Topics You Really Care About, here in the OC at KUCI 88.9 FM, streaming live on your computer at www.kuci.org. And thanks for listening in. Okay, I was at one of my jobs over the last week. I was a substitute teaching in the mean streets of the L.A. public high schools, which I do the other 4 days of the week. And I was in a cafeteria at lunch. And, you know, I'm in random cafeterias depending on the day. I go to about 30 schools. And so I'm in different places every day, different people. You know, I work with a lot of people and I see a lot of people different days that I don't really know or whom I don't really know. You know, a lot of places I'm never there enough times to ever, you know, meet people or know people. So I'm in a random cafeteria with a lot of people that I don't know. And I'm sitting, you know, by myself eating lunch and observing what's going on around me, which is really one of my favorite things to do. Love people watching and listening in on conversations. Love eavesdropping. Don't say anything around me you don't want to repeat on the radio, which is a whole nother topic in itself. I've got whole relatives and family members who, you know, hesitate to even talk to me anymore. But that's another subject. That's, you know, just another one of my hurdles. That's just my own issue and pain that I'm bringing in there. But anyway, I'm in this random cafeteria. I'm eating a random lunch with random people. And I'm eavesdropping on a conversation. And there's an older, kind of middle-aged, well, I don't know what middle-aged is anymore. I'm probably middle-aged now, but I still think of people like my parents' age as middle-aged, even though I'm probably actually the middle-aged one now. Any which way, here's a woman probably in her 50s, and she's a black woman. And that's important to the story. That's definitely cogent. So, okay, she comes in. And she gets her lunch, and she's sitting kind of near me. And this white woman, who also works there, comes in, gets her lunch, and, you know, comes in and sits near the black woman. They obviously know each other. They both work at this school together. And the white woman starts having a conversation with the black woman and says to her, and let me tell you, I don't know if they were already having a conversation before they walked into the cafeteria. I do not know what prompted this. It was the oddest thing. But the white woman started saying to the black woman, "Oh, so do you have any idea where your ancestors are from?" And my ears perked up because I thought, this is going to be interesting. Where in the hell is this conversation going? And, excuse me, I've been all choked up ever since I went on this run in the hills yesterday. I went up some killer hills, and I've been choked up ever since. I was breathing so heavily. Because I'm so out of shape. Anyway, back to the main point. The black woman says, well, you know, we haven't been able to trace it back because we weren't able to keep records, you know, back then. But most of us were taken from West Africa, you know, along the western coast of Africa. And I thought to myself, wow, this white woman is like just throwing down and suddenly asking this black woman, seemingly completely out of the blue, you know, where her, excuse me, where her slave ancestors were taken from, were, you know, stolen from, kidnapped from in Africa. It's like, where did that come from? And I got to tell you, and I'm a white person, that when this black woman started telling her that, and knowing that the white woman had just asked this question, and I didn't know where it was coming from because I don't know either one of these two, and I have no idea if there was a prior conversation that led up to this. I felt like a little, I don't know, bad? Guilty? I don't know what it was. It was a strange feeling. I started feeling like, oh my God, I feel so bad. I started thinking like, well, maybe I should suddenly look up, even though I don't know these people and I'm not even really sitting with them, although I'm sitting very close to them. I thought, maybe I should start thinking of, you know, in my ancestry, how maybe my Jewish relatives had to flee certain countries because, you know, a fear of persecution or something, you know, to make this woman feel better. Like, she said it very matter-of-factly, like, you know, she didn't say it like she was going to cry over it or anything. But I suddenly, as a white person, had, like, this overwhelming feeling of guilt, and like I wanted to kind of slink away or try to think of something in my ancestors' past that was terrible, because let's face it, you know, the Jews have had the terrible things in their past as well, just as the blacks have, and, you know, and suddenly bring it up like, you know, don't look at me, you know, I came from people who were persecuted too, and we didn't do it, we didn't, you know, kidnap you, your relatives from Africa. It was the strangest feeling. It was really weird. And I just thought I would tell you about that and ask you what you think about that. And have you ever had an experience like this? I mean, I don't know of anybody who talks about this kind of thing. You know, maybe in private quarters, but not, you know, right out there in the public. I've never heard anybody kind of talking about this. And it's very interesting. Not only, you know, the subject and to find out, you know, what people do know about their ancestry who are in that position, but also what the feelings of others around them would be if they were in that situation. I mean, I never would have expected to feel that way to hear that conversation. I mean, God knows my relatives had nothing to do with the slave trade. They were busy with their own problems. You know, the Jews are always running from someone or another. Or after them, you know, seems like we're the most hated people in the world besides the gays, which I'm also a member of that group. So, anyhow, you know, I maybe I should have told her that. Maybe I should have said, well, they used to yell, you know, you effing dyke in the, in high school to me. Does that make you feel better? Strange. Strange. But you know what else was really interesting about overhearing this conversation was that the white lady actually asked the black lady, well, you know, after you were, you know, your ancestors were brought here, how did your family end up coming to Southern California? And the black woman said, well, you know, that's an interesting story. We were actually in Georgia and, you know, we were near Atlanta. And she said, her great-grandfather who moved the family from the Atlanta area in Georgia to Southern California because, and he was kind of a successful guy in the Atlanta area. She said he was a hatter, which I guess if you were a hatter, which is somebody who makes hats and sells them, I guess back in the great-grandfather days, whenever that was, it had to be, you know, after 1865 when the slaves were freed. But I guess back then, that was a successful business. And she said that he had run this successful business where he made and provided hats for, you know, wealthy people and I guess all kinds of people. Because back then, wearing a hat was, you know, everyone wore a hat, I suppose. So anyway, she said he was very successful, but he left his entire business back in Georgia and moved the entire family to Southern California because the because lynchings were a huge thing in the Atlanta area. And she said that the mortality rate for especially like teenage males was so high that they would just, you know, if a teenage male black would just look funny at someone or just have a, you know, their face would have a funny look for a half a second, they weren't even meaning anything, completely innocent, they would be tied to a tree and lynched. So she said that her great-grandfather's son, which would have been like her great, you know, her grandfather's or grandmother's, I'm not sure which side it was on, brother, was going to be a teenager soon. He was about to come of age. And they were afraid for his life. They thought, you know, they were seeing a teenage males being plucked off the street and hung from trees. And so because they feared for his life because he was getting older, the great-grandfather moved the entire family to Southern California where they didn't have that problem. and he gave up his entire business and his livelihood, and he actually moved the whole family to Riverside, which was all farm town. I mean, I'm still parts of it are now, but it was all a farm area back then, and they moved to Riverside, and the great-grandfather tried his hand at farming and failed miserably at it, and, you know, I guess never really recovered from moving and giving up his business, and I guess hats weren't a big thing in SoCal. I don't know why he couldn't, you know, have a hat business here, but I guess they weren't a big deal here. And he failed miserably at farming and kind of never recovered and, you know, never gained back the success or the wealth that they had in Atlanta, but moved here to save the life of the son, who, you know, is probably this woman's a grandfather or grandmother's brother now. Well, anyway, I just thought that was a really interesting story. So that's what brought this black woman to Southern California. And I still wondered, though, what in hell brought this conversation up? Like, why did this white woman in this cafeteria who works with this black woman suddenly start asking her about her ancestry? But I was just happy she did, because I found it extremely interesting, and I found my feelings from listening to it extremely intriguing and surprising to me. And I'm wondering if you guys have any thoughts, or if you have any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear from you. The number's 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. All right, you're listening to The Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about, here in the OC at KUCI 88.9 FM, streaming live on your computer at www.kuci.org. And the number, of course, to call in and get on the air is 949-UCI-KUCI. That's 949-824-5824. This is The Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about. And about a week ago, there was a dog show. And it was televised, and it was widely publicized, actually, in the news. I don't know how dog shows make news. Again, I don't know how, you know, who the top babe in Torino at the Olympics makes, you know, top front page news on my Yahoo.com homepage. But it seems like on every television news channel and news magazine even, one of the top stories about a week ago was this dog show. And the dog that won, I mean, otherwise, would I know that there was a dog show going on? No. So, it's very strange. I mean, I actually heard people at one of my jobs talking about this dog show. I mean, like, I was subbing this one day, about a week ago, at a school where I was subbing PE, and I was in the boys' PE department, and I was working with, like, a bunch of, you know, 6 foot tall or more, you know, 6 foot five, you know, big jock guys all day. And damn if they weren't standing there talking about the dog show while we were standing there watching the kids play, because it had made, you know, every news channel that morning. And so, you know, they were like, hey, you know, hey, dude, did you see that dog show on the news? You see that dog that won? And it was like a big conversation piece for the day. Incredible. Well, anyway, I was, again, overhearing these men's conversation about the dog show and the dog who won, who was prominently featured on all the news channels that morning. And this dog, his name is Rufus, of all things, and aptly named because he's a tan and white bull terrier, and he became America's top dog in the dog show. He won Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club, and I have a picture of him in front of me, and if you saw this on the news, this is one of the ugliest dogs I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, you know what? I love animals, but I'm a cat person. So I don't know why it is, but if you're a cat person, people automatically think, oh, well, you like cats better than dogs. And if you're a dog person, it's like, oh, well, you like dogs better than cats. It's always cats and dogs. Cats and dogs. It's almost like black and white. You know? It's like these are like the two top animals, and they're in like some kind of competition with each other. Cats and dogs. Well, anyway, you know, I do like cats, and I do like them better than dogs just because I love cats so much. But I like dogs, too. Well, anyway, I mean, dogs I don't think are as good-looking as cats. They're not as, you know, sweet, cuddly, cute kind of looking and fuzzy and furry. And this dog isn't very fuzzy and furry. He's very short-haired, and he's got a very big nose and face and mouth and huge, sharp, pointy ears. And just, he kind of looks like a malformed horse. And he's not that great looking. But these two guys I was working with, they were like, hey, did you see that dog show? Boy, that was an ugly looking dog. I don't know how that dog won. And I was like, yeah, I totally agree. And they were like, well, you know, it's totally subjective. It's like, you know, I could look at a dog and think, hey, that dog's cool. And you could look at a dog and go, no, I think that dog's cool. So dogs are totally subjective. How can they judge them in a show? And I started thinking, that is totally like beauty contests. It's no different. I mean, I could think one woman is totally hot. And you could think Tanith Belbin, the hot babe from the Olympics ice dancing, is totally hot. And I could go, no, she's too skinny. And you could go, well, I think the babe that you like, you know, is a little too chunky. And I'll be like, are you kidding? She's curvy. She's got breasts and Tanith Belbin doesn't. So these beauty contests, like, you know, Miss USA, Miss World, whatever, you know, top dog at Westminster Kennel Club, it's all subjective. I don't know. That's just my random thought for the day. If you'd like to argue the point, I'd love to hear from you or agree. Either way, number's 949-UCIKUCI. That's 949-824-5824.